Well, we're going to close out talking about love today, the first of the fruits of the Spirit. And we have gone through this progression of looking at love where we took a general survey of what the Bible has to say about love. And then we looked at some specific examples of people we thought really were good examples of showing love in the Bible. Last week we looked at what Jesus had to say, and even more importantly, what Jesus did to show love. And that brings us all up to today to try to find this answer to the question of what do we do to live with love. My task this week has been to try to avoid cliches. Try to avoid these easy, churchy answers that, if I'm being honest, the last few weeks had a few of those. You probably know that. It's easy to say things like, love people the way that God has loved you, and see people the way Jesus sees people. That's easy, and it's not always terribly helpful. Maybe because it's so easy. And so the task today is to figure out some things we can do that are not just those easy cliches when we're talking about love. And so I've been trying to come at it from a few different ways this week. And I did something this week to try to get me in the right mind frame for talking about love. It occurred to me that the cliche, practicing what you preach, takes a little different meaning when you actually are preaching. This week I thought I'd practice what I'm going to preach. And I wanted to do something this week to show love to somebody that I care about. And so this week, this might seem strange. Maybe you'll understand what I'm coming from on this. I cooked shrimp. You saw Marcus up here. He's an excitable lad. He's also unusual in one respect in our family, in that he loves shrimp, where the rest of us, some level of indifferent to dislike. But I think it was Wednesday night I decided, when I was doing some grocery shopping, or maybe it was Sunday night. It was a whole lead up thing. I did our weekly grocery shopping, and I thought, you know what? This would make a big deal to Marcus. So I'm going to buy some shrimp, make something with it. And when I called Rachel saying I'm on my way home, she said, oh, Marcus is on my lap cuddling. He's not doing real well tonight. He's really tired. I said, well, put him on the phone. Marcus, I got a secret for you. You keep it to yourself. You don't have to tell anybody. I bought some shrimp to make a dinner with this week. And, you know, you could hear a smile. You know, you hear he's excited. And, you know, it was our thing all week. You know, keep it quiet. I did tell Rachel. He didn't know I told Rachel. And every time I say, Rachel, what do we want to make tonight? She picked a different meal. Finally, we ran out of all the other meals. Friday, it was time to cook the shrimp. Made a shrimp risotto. And turned out okay for something with shrimp in it. And Marcus was flying high. And everybody else, I talked with this Jared and Calvin before. And I said, you know, what's your favorite meal? They said, how often do we have that? Yeah, we kind of have that often. What's your favorite meal? Okay, we have that a few times a year, right? Yeah. Have we ever cooked shrimp for Marcus? No, we haven't. All right, so we're not going to make him feel bad about this. We're going to make a big deal. And there were a couple of us that said, yeah, this was okay. There were a couple that said, boy, this is good. And then I looked at Rachel and Jared's plate, and I see all the shrimp set aside. They've eaten everything else. Then you see Marcus, and he's just going back for more and more and more. Sometimes, to show love to someone, it makes a big difference when they know, I am doing this only because I love you. I'm doing this not because I'm using you as an excuse to do something that I want. You've done that before, right? But this is something for you. I don't know if that's a big point for this morning, but it got me, I think, in the headspace that I needed to be to talk about how we can actually do things to show love. And so I opened up my Bible, and I'm looking at some more of those examples of Jesus teaching about love and acting in love. And I spent not as much time in the showing love to somebody that is very close to you, somebody that you love in that way. I said, we'll take care of that at the top, talking about Marcus's shrimp. But I think maybe it's valuable to spend some time looking at where Jesus talks about loving others who are maybe not as easy to love. Someone asked me after Sunday evening services last week, how can you love somebody truly unlovable? Talking about people who have done terrible things. How can you love them? How can you show that love? And we're not going to get all the answers this morning. I'd like to put that preface out there. And no matter what the answer is, it's not going to be easy in some cases, especially people we are not just very different from, but very removed from. I'm kind of like the discussion that we had on Sunday. But I think there are some things that we can do to learn to love in those cases and also learn to show love. Because I think a lot of times when we talk about loving your neighbor and especially loving your enemy, it is very much a personal thing. It is sometimes simply the lesson comes out to be loving means not hating. And if you can reach a point of not hating that person, then you're doing okay. And then we call it good at that point. I think maybe we need to move past that. And I think sometimes we move past that and we say loving your enemy means somehow moving from not hate to being okay in some way and being able to think something nice, and it still is an internal thing. But the more I thought about this, I think, do we need, if we are going to love our enemy, is it important that they know they are being loved? Because I think there is some value in the internal, in the training ourselves, but I think, well, if I look at the way Jesus acted, maybe it is important that they know they're being loved. And that makes it a little harder, doesn't it? So what do we do to not just not hate, not just feel okay about how we feel about them, not just have that spiritual kind of love, but show somebody who might otherwise be called enemy love? Well, let's look at some things that Jesus did. In Luke chapter 6, this is maybe Luke's Sermon on the Mount. This is the section that is very, very similar to Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. There's disagreement over whether this is the same event or a different one. It says that Jesus came down into a flat area to do this, so this is sometimes called the Sermon on the Plain. But it says a lot of the same things. And it talks about love for enemies. You might be more familiar with Matthew's version. The Sermon on the Mount is better known because Matthew's version is a little more concise. The Matthew version, I use this portion when I do the Journey to Bethlehem stuff. Well, you've heard it said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But Luke talks a little more and adds some more stuff in. So let's look in Luke chapter 6. Start in verse 27. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. They cook shrimp all day long. No, it's easy. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. We want to pay that back. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even the sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. He brings in some more ideas here in Luke than was in the Sermon on the Mount. He brings in these ideas of, he talks about not just loving, doing good, blessing, and praying. In Matthew, he says, I say, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you, and then moves on. Spend more time in Luke. Gets into this issue of lending and not expecting things back. I do think that if we are going to love, we'll keep using the word enemies here. We can have it kind of broad. Those we disagree with, those who we see as different. We'll keep using enemies, but remember our broad definition. If we are going to love our enemies and make sure that they know it, we do have to start within ourselves. We do have to begin in ourselves. Like I said, we're not going to end there, but we do have to start in ourselves because it is not easy. We start, I think, where Jesus does here, about praying for your enemy. Praying for those who mistreat you. And I want to make an important distinction between praying for and praying about. If somebody says, pray for somebody you disagree with, how often does that turn into praying about them? Oh yes, I'll pray for my enemies. God, please change their hearts. God, please let them seek your will. God, please let them change. That's praying about someone. That's praying for you. Right? I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. How do you pray for someone? Well, first you need to know what they've got going on. To pray for someone, you're actually praying in their interest. You pray for their health and well-being. You pray for their family. Maybe you pray for their job and success. Start to get a little uncomfortable, perhaps. I think Jesus is okay with that. It is very hard to show someone that you love them if all you want to do is change them. Even if we do, at some point, seek to teach, convert, save, all these words that we use, I think it can't be only that. If we are going to pray for someone in love, we need to pray for them and not about them. We saw Jesus doing that. We saw Jesus praying for people even that he disagreed with. And I think going along with this idea of praying for and knowing what's going on and seeking their good, I think we also need to do something that we see Jesus doing in places. We see Jesus talking with people at times. And he is able to find a point of commonality. In Luke 14, not too far away from where we are, Pharisees are there, as at a Pharisee's house, and they're talking about healing on the Sabbath. We've seen this discussion before. In fact, we saw that discussion in Luke 6, where we were open to before. And they're discussing, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And they ask Jesus. And he says, if one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out? He says, you're able to show enough love that if your child, your animal is in need, you take care of them. This is not Jesus looking for a fight. He's saying to these people disagreeing with him, he says, I know that there are situations that I can see you acting honorably. Jesus talks about the way that people treat their children, the way people respond to requests for their children. You know, if he asks for bread, you're not going to give him a snake. And he says, even you, who I might later call a snake, even you have something honorable in you. There's something in even those people that disagree with. These people are made by God. These people are not, we ought not to see them in this demonized way. And sometimes, if we are praying for them, if we take the time to think about them doing something honorable, we say, we may disagree in this sphere. I may think they are dead wrong about this thing they have done, the stance that they have taken, but I see that person as someone that God has made, someone who God has given value to, someone who is not rotten through and through, but there is honor in everyone. Reminded, when looking at this, there's a stand-up comedian that I was watching, and he says, he was talking more in the sense of being, if you're afraid of somebody, but I think it works perhaps here as well. He says, one thing that helps me when I see somebody that is just very scary or here, but very, very rotten, very much an enemy, says, I remind myself that everybody sleeps. And kind of pause a moment. No matter how scary somebody looks, there is a point every day where that person is. Flip the pillow, nice and cool. Right? Somebody is you know, vulnerable in that way. Somebody, they say, hey, that is just like me. We find those ways that someone, you know, even if it has to be something very simple, we say, there is something that I can see that we share, something that I can see. If you squint, you can see Jesus there, even if they don't know it. So these are some things I think we can do to help our own mindset, train ourselves, try to see them as God's people, pray for, not about. But, like I said, we need to move on to making sure that they know that we love them. Because what good does it do? So some things I think we should do. And I'm going to speed things up here. Talking too much. All right. First thing we can do, we need to be cautious about our words of disagreement. When we disagree, we need to be careful how we're doing it. We need to avoid exaggerating. You always. You never. I have now turned myself into a liar. Like, exaggerated words. This is another one that I got hit with this week. Kids have a way of doing this to you. The past couple weeks, changed what we do for our TV provider. We have cut the cord. All right, we're now Netflix and Hulu people, and the boys are excited about that. I wonder if maybe we didn't express some things about our previous television provider as honorably as we should have. I didn't think that we'd done anything too bad, but I find out over the past week, the boys have started this vendetta. Is not the best word. Hatred is a good word. Okay. Rachel says hatred. I'll go with that. Of Spectrum, Charter Spectrum TV. We knew it wasn't working too well. And we commented on that, maybe too much, because I didn't see this until yesterday. We were at a restaurant, and a TV was on, and a Spectrum commercial came on, and at least two of the boys, if not all three of them, said, Spectrum! I'm like, they pulled their eyes and covered their ears, and I said, what is that about? And Rachel said, this, you heard that started when they were over my parents the other day, and they're talking about just how awful Spectrum is and how good it is now, and they started not watching commercials. And Rachel said that when they were driving to or from Ninja Class on Friday, they saw a Spectrum work van and just started talking about how terrible they are. And I didn't think we said anything too bad, but clearly we were not being cautious enough in the way we talked about our provider before. And maybe that doesn't amount to too much, but you know, how is Marcus going to respond to somebody wearing a Spectrum work shirt if this is the road they're going down? The way that we talked, apparently, taught a lesson there that this company, and by extension the people that work for this company, are bad. And you shouldn't even look at them or listen to them apparently. Again, we're going to have some, we're going to talk on that. But think about the way that you talk to and about the people you disagree with. Those enemies. What good is being done if we are not careful? What love is being shown if we can only say something nasty somebody disagree with? Or start nicely until they say that thing that we don't want to hear and we storm off, saying, well, we can't even talk now. What good is being done if we cannot be cautious? And along those same lines, we need to be careful about the way that we where we find ourselves, where we locate ourselves by the end of those interactions. I would say we need to do less agreeing to disagree and instead agree to agree about something else. If we only focus on that disagreement, so often when we agree to disagree, we focus on that disagreement. And it's either that or nothing. Instead, we need to find something else to talk about. Something else that we can agree about. Think of Jesus and the woman at the well in John chapter 4. They had an awful lot of things they disagreed about. She was a Samaritan woman. Jesus was a Jewish man. In fact, she stated, "How are you even talking to me? Jews don't usually do that." And then when she realizes, oh, you're a religious guy, let's talk about that thing we disagree with. You say worship at Jerusalem. We say worship at Mount Gerizim. Jesus doesn't want to talk about the differences. Jesus doesn't want to say, well, let's just agree to disagree and let's get some water. Jesus says there are more important things than arguing about whose ancestors intermarried with whom and which mountain you're praying on. He said, first, let's get a drink of water. Second, he says, let's talk about who made those mountains. Let's talk about who we're praying to. Let's talk about the promises that God has, the hope that we share. And then what happens? Jesus, come back and talk to my people here. And Jesus stayed with them for days and taught, loved. They could have just agreed to disagree and go their separate ways. But Jesus said, let's agree to agree on the things that really matter. Again, I don't know if we're going to change the world by praying for somebody and picturing them giving their kids a birthday present, or by taking a few things out of our language when we talk, or by shifting the conversation to the things that really matter. I don't know if we're going to change the world by doing that. But if our goal is to love like Jesus loved, we need to get ourselves right and we need to show somebody that love has changed something. I sincerely hope that even those people that you might have in your head as being that person who you'd rather not talk to, and that person that just gets on your nerves the most, and that person that you would label as enemy, I sincerely hope that even for that person, you don't wish hell upon them. And I'm going to work from that assumption. And it may be the case that because of whatever conflict and whatever differences we have, it may very well be the case that you will not be the person that brings that person to heaven. But don't be the one who turns them away later from the one who might be. You may not be the one who is going to be able to break through and really actually bring that change in someone's life and actually show them the fruits of the Spirit fully. And you may not be the one who is going to change their heart. But if we're not careful, if we don't act in love, we might be just that confirmation of why it's not worth talking to those Christians. And the person that God is going to put in their life, who can reach them, might never get that chance. It's a lot easier to love our kids, love our spouses, love our family. It's hard to love somebody you don't know, love somebody that you wish you don't know. But it matters. Not just in the way you're thinking, but it matters that they see that even in a conflict-filled relationship, they can say, I can see something about the love of Jesus. I don't know when you're going to get an opportunity to try. I hope today, at the very least, you can start thinking about the things that we can do. Start praying for. Start preparing for the next interaction. I hope that we can come together and, in the love that we have here, help each other to be prepared. Started talking 3 weeks ago about love is a big issue. There's so many facets, so many aspects, and we only scratched the surface. And we're going to move on to joy next week, which is going to be another big one. But we're not going to leave love behind. We talked about before, it is love and. We start with love and we move through the other things. So I hope there might have been something in here that's useful. I hope that this wasn't cliches. If it was, tell me. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to be better for you guys. But we need love. Not just for ourselves, we need to show it to others. Let's wrap this up. If there's anything you need, let us know. Please come forward and tell us if you need baptism, whatever you need, we want to be here for you. Please come forward as we stand and sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you